patient's perspective on the long, harsh, personal winter of depression.
What follows are excerpts of an interview with Sally, who shares her very personal experience of battling a very harsh and recurring winter of depression. I view Sally, like many of my patients who suffer from a chronic depressive disorder, as very courageous. More so as she graciously wanted to give something back to help others who are similarly struggling to cope. Metaphorical therapy is one small but important part of her ongoing treatment. If you are depressed, you are not alone. As Sally says, gaining support, keeping connected, holding on to hope, and the belief that the winter will end in spring will help you get through. Today I'm here with Sally.
Hi, Dr. Whittington.
Thank you for coming along. We will be talking about depression. Before we talk in any detail about that, I'd just like to say that the treatment of depression is multifaceted, and there is a whole array of treatments from medication to specialist support, and metaphorical therapy is just one component of that. So before we talk about how metaphorical therapy may have been of assistance to you, Sally, can you just tell us a little bit about your depression?
I have been suffering from depression, I believe, all my life. My first major depressive episode, I believe, was when I was around 12, and I have been struggling with that all of my life, on and off, all of my life, and I'm 43 now.
What I want for the listeners to appreciate is what contribution, or how did the winter of depression assist you?
Well, when I first listened to it, for me, it was, I got a profound sense of relief that finally, after all these years, someone was able to articulate how I'm feeling in a concise way that everybody could understand.
So it sort of had, it had a, quite an impact upon you.
It had an impact on me. I was feeling very depressed when I first listened to it and was really, really struggling. It moved me to tears. And I felt very emotional, but I also felt hopeful that for the first time that I felt really heard.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also thought, how wonderful would this be for other people suffering from depression to hear this and feel heard as well and understood? And how wonderful would it be for other people in, like, the person suffering from depression's life to hear this and understanding what their friends and family members are going through?
So do you think it would help people who didn't understand or hadn't been through depression?
Yes, I think so. And I would, you know, I selfishly wanted everybody in my family and my friend circle to listen to it so they could have some understanding of what I go through suffering from depression. Because it's an invisible disease,
mm-hmm.
It's hard to understand, and it's through no fault of anybody's that they don't understand, because they can't see it. It's hard to, like with a broken leg or cancer or diabetes, we all know how that affects people. We all know how we can support people through those times. But with depression, it's such an invisible, silent, isolating disease or illness that it's hard for people to be the support they can be.
Okay, so now that's really helpful. Now, if I could just direct you to the second half of the Winter of Depression, because that's when we weave in some of the messages.
Yeah.
What for you were significant messages that sort of came through?
Well, for me, the standout one was the man with the gotcha grip.
Oh, okay.
And that really resonated with me because for so long I was suffering with my depression on my own.
Yeah.
And then I started seeing you.
Mm.
I had you, a GP, and a psychologist that I could afford to see 10 times a year.
Yeah.
They were my three people that were helping me get through. And to be quite honest, when I first started seeing you, in my mind, my depression was a terminal illness.
Yeah.
And that's...
Well, that's the thing. People don't appreciate that it's like cancer.
Yeah.
That it can kill people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we say the winter, the personal winter, can be harsh and can be lethal.
Yeah.
And woven into the old man is the notion that it's serious. You can die in the winter.
Yeah, and I was fully expecting, and
it's a struggle. So one of the things for me in writing that was I wanted some hope.
Yes.
And the did that come through
yes,
for you?
Yes, the hope. So I was able to reflect on the people that have helped me and the steps that I need to take to help myself as well. Like it's very, very hard when you're consumed in a depressive episode to think rationally and, you know, take those steps like, you know, exercising, eating right, you know, having people around you and stuff, because it's such an isolating illness that you retreat. So, and the hope that, you know, there is things that you can do to make it, to feel better.
Mm.
And it isn't the end of your life living with a mental, like, depression. It's not the end. You can still experience joy and happiness.
Yeah, well, the whole message is at the end of winter, spring must come.
Yes.
And so, for me, the symbolism of spring, of flowers, of green, is really where hope and life lives.
Yes. And I really got that too. And it helped me reflect back on my life, like when you are in that really depressive episode, that you get through it, like one step at a time, you get there and you get to the other side and you do see, you know, the beauty in life again. And
But it's an on. See, the thing that also is very helpful about this is, you know, there's winters. They come and go.
Yeah.
Some are mild, some are severe, some are shorter, some are longer, and that reflects depression.
Yes, that certainly does. It's and yeah,
it's
and
an ever changing thing, like the seasons, like the winter.
And as a person, you're ever-changing. So my treatment 10 years ago is different now, and the way, like, the education and now that is happening, the understanding and the new treatments that are coming through, it's wonderful that all this research has been done. And it's just, it's life-changing, really.
Because there's more reason to hope.
Yeah.
And even if someone or our listeners are struggling,
yeah,
then just keep on one step at a time,
yeah,
keep on going, their spring will come.
Yeah, exactly. And also the winter of depression is an accessible tool. So you can, it's easily, like, you can listen to it and it's not hard, like,
no,
really. It's, you know, it's easy to just sit down and have a little listen and, you know.
I might be going a little bit deviating away from the winter of depression, but one of the things about metaphorical therapy is we've linked them all together. So you have listened to the storm of anxiety. And so would you say that the storm can be superimposed upon the winter? The winter can be complicated by anxiety?
Yes, oh, very much so. I suffer from anxiety as well. So it's, you know, it's, for me, it's a stormy winter, to be quite honest. Like, so it's a big, yes, but it's wonderful to be able to break it down. Yeah. Like, and the work I've done with you, you put words to the way that I'm feeling and are able to articulate it in a really, like, a way that is easy to understand and visualise and go, oh, this is what's happening with my body. Yeah. With my anxiety, it really helped me go, oh, so that's what is happening. That's anxiety? I thought that was just that I was really hot on the Gold Coast, you know?
It's funny because one of the things is to make it memorable. Mm. And you make it memorable if it's hooked onto something you know. Yeah. So everyone knows winter.
Yeah.
And so now we have all those hooks about all those different aspects of winter reflect the different symptoms of depression. Mm-hmm. And similarly, we have the anxiety and all the variations of the storm are a different aspect. Yeah. And, you know, to me, well, I've found people who, you know, carry around the ping pong ball, who carry a green leaf or whatever. Do you find that you think in the language of metaphors? And
yes, I do. And I think I explain things in the way of metaphors as well. Like, when I try to describe what I'm feeling, I use metaphors. For me, like, when I first thought of my depression, it was like I was in a hole that I couldn't climb out of. And there was thing, I was trying to climb out of it, but people were just, sometimes situations or people would shove me back in that hole. So that's how it was for me, but when I tried to explain it to people, but I think the winter of depression articulates it in a way better way.
And so you think people understand it when you're talking in that language?
I think so. I think people can understand, because other ways of describing depression is sort of like, I think, a little bit whimsical. Like, it's hard for people to understand that you physically cannot get out of bed. Like, how can somebody that has had no problem getting out of bed every day of their life understand that someone with depression physically cannot move?
That just reminds me of the black dog of depression and how that's a metaphor often used, but in my mind it doesn't really tell us anything, nothing of the depths of meaning or the abundance of sort of understanding that you get through the winter.
Exactly. And it really really shows the darkness that really creeps in when you're going through depression, the darkness and the sound effects and everything. Like, you really get that, oh, this is, you know, that feeling of...
Oh, look, I think it's really good. Thank you very much for coming along today. You've really sort of give us a very good insight of what a patient experiences, and
thank you.
Lovely. Thank you.